Certainly good to look out in the audience and see all of you here this evening. I'm going to fix my backpack before I lose my battery and lose my microphone. That's what happens to these clips. Of course, they're not made for somebody with my physique, and that's a problem, I guess, when you try to put it on your belt. It won't clip. All right, so we got that done. Certainly good to see all of you here tonight. We appreciate your presence. Especially those that are visiting with us. We're so thankful that you've come to be with us tonight and invite you back anytime you may have the opportunity to visit with us at our services here at Market Street. We are certainly glad to be able to be here and to be able to lift our voice in song, and praise. To be able to do that is such an honor and such a blessing that oftentimes we don't think about that, but we live in a nation that allows us that freedom and that privilege. And we need to be thankful for that. And we need to remember our nation. We're going through a time, a year, in which a lot of decisions are being made. And decisions that are being made oftentimes may seem to be trivial, but some of those decisions can be lasting in their impact. And so we need to remember that and remember to pray for our nation and pray that our nation will continue to stand and to enact laws that are good for the people of God, good for us to be able to exercise ourselves like we have even done this morning and this evening. And but whatever the case may be, that we would be strong in faith, that we would stand strong and be faithful to the Lord, and that's what we want to do. And so we certainly want to remember our nation and continue to pray for it. We've had visiting with us for a while, Joycelyn Pepper, and she's been visiting with her grandmother, Cornelia, and she's let me know that she'd like to be a part of us at Market Street, and we're so glad she has. She said, well, if you'll take us. I said, well, considering you're Buddy Pepper's granddaughter, I guess we'll have to, but no, but we miss Buddy, but she comes from good family, and so we're so glad to have Joycelyn with us, and we so want to welcome her into our fellowship here. And so we hope that others will join us in our work together as we continue to labor in the Lord here at Market Street. If you have your Bibles in life, I'd like for you to take them and turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, or chapter 1 rather, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica, and he's writing to them and he's reminding them of the grace that has been given to them through Jesus Christ, and he's thankful for their receptance of that grace, that they have been exceeding toward their love toward one another and toward people in general, and that they have received the gospel. But there are those who did not receive the gospel, and he's reminding them of those who do not obey and what's going to happen to them, that they're going to be punished, verse 9, with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, from the glory of his power. He continues on in verse 10. He says, and when he shall come, he shall be glorified in his saints, to be admired of all of them that believe, because of our testimony among them was among you was believed in that day. Wherefore we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of your faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Lord's body is made up of people. People like the people here at Thessalonica. I could read other texts, I could read other epistles, and we would see the same type of thing. But what we see is the people of God make up congregations of people. Just like the congregation here at Market Street is made up of people. The church at Market Street is not the bricks and mortar. This building that has been standing here since 1950 is made up of the people that make up that church. And it's been made up of a lot of people through those years. I think about since 1950, how many people have made up the church at Market Street? How many people have been a part of that work for all those 66 years now that we're counting? And you know what? As I think about those people, I think there were a lot of people that had a lot of differences in their life. They weren't all people who were raised the same way. They weren't all people who had the same background. As a matter of fact, they probably had been raised in all kinds of different economic situations. Some may be well off, well to do, maybe some not so well. Some people who maybe have come from places beyond here. Some people who always grew up right here in Athens and Limestone County. But regardless of the case, regardless of the socioeconomic situation that they came to, or the culture difference that was there, they were people who numbered themselves among God's people. And that's just the way the people of God are. They've always numbered themselves among the people of God and their differences. And Paul understands that when he's writing to the church of Thessalonica. He's not writing to these people thinking, y'all are all just alike. Even though they were in the city of Thessalonica, they all had some differences about them, but there was something he said that they wanted to make sure they understood. And did you notice when we were reading through that, how he talked about that he will come and he will be glorified in his saints? He talks about that you'll be glorified in the saints. And he says, we pray that you, in the calling, that you fulfill the good pleasure of his goodness. And with the work of faith, with power, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. You know, that's what God wants. He wants to be glorified among his people. You know, there is something that is greater than the differences we have. There are differences. Sometimes they may be significant. They may be serious things. But regardless of what the facts are, there are differences we have. But there is something that is greater than those differences. And so tonight, I would like to think with you about the things that hold us together. Even though we may be different in personality, there may be differences in our background, we may disagree over all kinds of subjects. And I mean, we could start talking, you talk about politics, you talk about Alabama and Auburn and Tennessee and all these other things, and we could all have differences. But I'm going to tell you what, there's a goal greater. And what force is there that's strong enough to overcome the disruptive forces that would tear the people of God apart? And so this evening, that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the goal greater than our differences. Oh, man, you're going to get the end of the sermon before you get to the first of the sermon. Well, we'll just have to go back to that. I don't know how that happened. Anyway, first thing is, God's glory is our goal. God's glory is our goal. The highest purpose and privilege of God's people is to bring glory to him. You know, as I think about that, I go all the way back to the book of Deuteronomy. I'm turning back to Deuteronomy chapter 4. And I just want to notice with you how we see this all the way back of the people of God, the children of Israel. Notice what he says in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Look with me in verse 8. He says, behold, I have taught you statutes and judgment, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do in the land whether you go to possess it. Therefore, keep therefore and do them. For in this your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which he shall hear in all these statutes and say, surely a great nation and a wise is wise in their understanding people. For what nation is there so great? Who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God? It is in all things that we call upon him for. And what nation is there that's so great and has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law, which I set before you this day? You know, here's a purpose that they're called to. They're called to these statutes. They're called to these commandments. They're called to these things that God has told them. Here's how I want you to be. You're to be the people of God, and here's some things you need to know. And you need to keep these statutes. You need to keep these laws. And you know, that is something that we need to understand as people of God, that being the people of God means you act certain ways. I may have told you about this of a English tutor. She was a tutor of the king's children. And one day she was out teaching the children how they were to act. And there were certain things that she was trying to impress upon them as she was teaching them how they were to behave themselves when they were out in public. And there were certain things, and she would go through the different things that they would find themselves in, the certain situations, the certain social reasons they would be together. And she'd say, now this is the right thing to do. And this would be a right thing to do. And then something would come up and they would do something. She'd say, now you don't do it that way. And this is the point she would make to the children. She said, because you're a child of the king. Because you're a child of the King. You're a child of the King, so therefore this is how you act. This is what is expected of you when you're a child of the King. You know, I think about that. That's what really, I think, Deuteronomy is trying to tell the people of Israel. Trying to tell the people of God, there is a way in which you are to act. There's a way in which you're to live. There's a way in which you're to go about your activities. But you know what? That's not just the Old Testament. That's just not the people of old. But that's a lesson for us, and that is that there's a certain way that we are to go about our activities in glorifying and living. As I think about this, I'm turning now back to the New Testament. I'm turning to Romans chapter 1. And as I turn to Romans chapter 1, I'm going to see where there are people who did not glorify God as they should. They didn't act as they should. In Romans chapter 1, look with me down to go back to verse 17. For it says, therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. It is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Here are people who are not walking according to the statutes that God has delivered. They're walking in the way they want to live. And because of this, they should have known God, but they have not known Him. And so while they should have known Him, He's not been made visible to them. And so they have seen the things of God that have been shown to them, and they are not recognizing God. They should have. They should have seen God clearly through the creation that He made. Verse 21 goes on and says, but because of that, they knew not God. That when they knew God, they knew Him not. And they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful, but they became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made into a corruptible man, to birds, into four-footed beasts, into creeping things. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. You know, as I see this and I say, here are people who failed to give glory to God. They should have and they didn't. And you say, well, that's a sad situation. But is it not possible that there are people who should know God and should glorify God today, but we don't glorify God? Because we get all wrapped up about something and we fail to give the glory to God as we ought. And I say that is very possible. I think about the fact of Jesus Christ and His own purpose was to give glory to God. If you want to turn back in your Bibles to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, look with me in verse 27. Where here Jesus is coming and He's with His disciples. He's just prior to the time in which He is going to be betrayed into the hands of sinners. And He says in verse 27, now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I into this hour. Father, glorify Thy name. You know, Jesus Christ is fixing to go to the cross. He's fixing to die a terrible death. And He's here and He even says, I am troubled. But what does He say in the end? Glorify Thy name, Father. You know, we need to see how Jesus saw the importance of glorification of God, even to the point of going to the cross and serving Him. Like Jesus, our highest aim should be to glorify God. If you will, turn in your Bibles over to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, look with me at verse 20. In 21, where Paul here is writing to the church at Philippi. And as he writes to the church at Philippi, he talks about the way in which they ought to give glory to God. Notice what he says in verse 20. He says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, in nothing I shall be ashamed. But with all boldness, as always, so now in Christ, shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. To die is gain. You know, to live my life and to give my life for the glory of God, that is gain. You know, think about how we need to see this. That's what the Apostle Paul says. He says our life ought to be like Jesus' life. Jesus went to the cross and He died. He died that cruel death on the cross. And why? Because he was going to glorify the Father's name. And here he is. He's now saying to the Philippians, we're going to glorify the Apostle Paul in our life or in our death. We are going to glorify. That is our work. That is what we are here to do. And so we need to give glory to God. That is our goal. But the second thing I want to notice, we are doing everything to God's glory. You know, we're not just talking about doing a few things and giving a little bit of service to the glory of God, but we're talking about it in everything. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 4. Look with me in verse 10. As Peter writes here in his epistle, he says this, as every man hath received the gift, so minister the same to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. And if any man minister, let him do so with the ability which God hath given, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You know, we are to praise Him in everything we do. That means we pray Him in our obedience. Our obedience to Jesus Christ is the fact that we are seeing as our goal to glorify Him. We're glorifying Him in our obedience. And a lot of times people want to play down obedience. They want to say, well, I just don't know why you have to do that because, you know, really, can God not understand our hearts? Well, yes. Our hearts are important. We talked about developing that heart this morning. But you know, there are certain things that we ought to do because we glorify Him as God. We glorify Jesus Christ as Lord. And therefore, we ought to walk in obedience. We ought to speak as the oracles of God. And we ought to do everything to the glory of God. It's not just a half-hearted way in which we go about. I think how Jesus went through His life, and His life was a glorification. And how God was glorified in His life. I'm turning back to the book of Matthew now, and I'm turning to Matthew chapter 9. And I just want to notice a couple of places with you here where we see Jesus and His life as He's going about. And I think we've made the point that Jesus' life was that to glorify the Father. Even going to the cross, we see that, we saw that. But here in Matthew chapter 9, we see where Jesus has a situation where a man who is brought to Him sick of the palsy. Verse 2, he's lying on his bed. And so he comes to this man, he sees the faith of them, and he says to him, thy sins be forgiven thee. And then, of course, there's a discussion about who can forgive sins but God. And so they have this discussion. He says, well, that you may know that the Son of Man has power to forgive sins. I'll just go tell you, rise, take up your bed and walk. It says he arose, verse 7, and went to his house. He picked up his bed and he walked with his bed. He was sick of the palsy. He was lame. He couldn't get up. Now here he was picking up his bed and he was walking. Notice verse 8. And when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had been given such power unto men. You know, here we see Jesus glorifying God and the miracles He performed. Turn with me to the 15th chapter, Matthew chapter 15. Look with me in verse 31 this time, where we see Jesus going through to the Sea of Galilee and to the mountain. He's there. Great multitudes are following Him. There are people who are being brought to Him, those that are lame and blind and dumb. And many others are at Jesus' feet and they're wanting to be healed because they know this man has the power to heal people. Verse 31 says, insomuch as the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. You know, doing everything to the glorification of God in my obedience, in the life I live, the works I do, to see that God's glory is seen in my life. And by the way that I live and the way that I act. Well, we don't just have to see that with Jesus, but we also see this instruction given to us by Jesus in Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount is talking about the fact that, you know, you're the salt of the earth, the light of the world. We remember that text. As he comes on down, he says, men do not light a candle and put it under a bushel, but they put it on a candlestick that may give light to all that are in the house. And then in verse 16, he says this, Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. You know, our work is to glorify God. Doing everything to the glorification of God. And that means everything we do and every action that we do, it ought to be to the glorification of God. And so you know what? When I begin to think this is what my life is about, is for God's glory, that's my goal, doing everything to God's glory, then it ought to be for the glory of God that I do everything. And even when I come together in the church, my work ought to be to glorify God. I'm not worried about my own personal vendettas or my own personal thoughts, my own personal wishes and whims. Oh, I might be different than this brother over here, the sister over here. We might have some differences. I may speak with a different kind of accent than they do. My skin might be of a different color than theirs is. There might be all kinds of differences that we might think about that we think, oh, these are major differences. But you see, the glorification of God is greater than those differences. I've turned over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And I've turned over here because we have people that have some differences. And their differences are that some of them have been given different gifts of the Spirit. And so some of them are magnified because they think their gifts are greater than another's gift. And Paul is writing to him and says, you know, y'all need to understand these gifts really are nothing. Really, you're not one bit better than somebody else because of the gift you have. And you need to use these gifts that you've been given to glorify God. That's the whole purpose of what this was about. And he says in verse 23, I want us to pick up in verse 23. He says, if therefore the whole church should become together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say, ye are mad? But what if all prophesied, and there come in one that believeth not, and the unlearned, and he is convinced of all, and he is judged of all. And thus the secrets of his heart are made manifest. So falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. You know, he says the way in which you conduct yourself when you're in the assembly can make all the difference in the world. You can sit here and you can talk about your differences. You can talk about how your difference is better than somebody else's difference. You can glorify in these things, but these things are earthly. They are not for what you're about at all. But what you need to do is make sure that when you're using whatever talents you have, you're using them to build up, to strengthen. And so when somebody comes into the assembly and they see your differences, they don't see your differences. What they see is they see people who love the Lord. They see people who are coming together and they are believers and they're coming together and they're in common and they're glorifying God. And what they're going to see when they see that, they're going to say, this is what I want. I'm going to become a... And so he says, they become a believer as a result of the prophesying and the teaching and the glorification that's being done on this case. But you see, if everybody's speaking in their own tongue, if there's all kind of chaos going on because of the differences they have, because everybody's trying to show out at the same time, it's not going to be any kind of glorification. And the people are going to leave and they're saying, those people are mad. I'm not going back there again. And that can happen so much in the church, where people walk into a place and you can almost feel the friction when you walk in the door. I'd like to say I never have been there, but I tell you what, I'm thinking of one place that I went one time and I could feel the friction almost the first time I walked in that door. You could cut it with a knife. And I didn't know what the differences were. But I thought, if I'm going to spend any time here at all, I might as well know. So I just went over and asked somebody. I said, I want you to tell me. Can you tell me what some problems are here? Can you tell me where we're not getting together? You know what I was told? We ain't got any problems here. And I thought, boy, we got big problems. When you got problems and you don't know it, you're going to be just like these people. They're going to leave and they say, you're mad. Because you see, you're not doing everything to the glory and honor of God. And what you do is you wind up making your goal or your differences greater than your goal. And what we need to do is we need to make our goal greater than our differences. And so we need to do that. And so we need to understand that we need to show that our goal is greater. by, first of all, glorifying God. And we've already talked about that. I won't talk about that much more. We just need to glorify God. And we need to do that. And that needs to be a part of our worship and everything that we do. And you know what that means? That means I'm not going to go over here and be talking to somebody else about another member over here and be saying, let me tell you about their dinner. No, what I'm going to say is, boy, I tell you what, I love the way they sing. Or I love the way they hug everybody's neck, or they shake your hand, or the smile they give. You know what? They might be an Auburn fan. I might be an Alabama fan. Now, we know that, you know, we know where I'm at on this, don't we? But you know what? Our goal is greater than difference. I'm not going to sit there and say, let me tell you, they root for Tennessee. No, who cares about that? Well, a Tennessee fan might care, but who else really cares about that? In the big scheme of things, does it really matter? No, it doesn't. It really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're orange and blue, if you're red and white, or you're purple and green. It doesn't really matter. What matters is glorifying God. And so when I'm sitting there and I'm talking, I don't get on it. It's like, let me tell you about the members over here. Let me tell you about some of the weird ones we got. You know what? Everybody's got weird ones. The problem is what do we focus on? The weird ones are glorifying God. And see, that's what I'm saying. You glorify God. The next thing is that we glorify through our love for one another. Through our love for one another. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 says, what? Love will cover a multitude of sins. Love will cover a multitude of sins. You know what? You can fail miserably with people. You can fail and you can disappoint people. But you know what? If you love them and they love you, it won't make a difference. You know, I know that because I have failed people miserably. I think about growing up in a home, and I think about my father, and I think about my mother. And I think about how they tried to raise me. Did I always do everything I should do as a boy growing up? Well, I'll tell you, I'm guarantee you, my parents probably sometimes thought, what in the world? How are we going to get out of this? But you know what? They never made me feel bad. They never made me feel less than I should have been. As a matter of fact, whenever I would conduct myself in a way that I shouldn't conduct myself or do something, you know, I remember Daddy would just come over and say, well, David, he said, first thing I always say is, he said, I love you. I love you. That's in the context. I will never forget that the rest of my life. I love you. And then he said, and all I want for you to do is for you to act like a Christian ought to act. Now, how do you think that makes you feel? I'd almost rather he just blew me out for how I acted. I love you, and all I want you to do is act like a Christian ought to act. Well, I'm going to tell you what. Love will cover a multitude of sins. And you know what? There are going to be times in which people fail us. They're going to let us down. They're going to disappoint us. And you know what? We're going to just glorify God through our love for one another. And that's the way we're going to show our goal is greater than our differences. And then we're going to deal with our differences so that God is glorified. We're going to deal with them. We're not going to sit there and act like, well, we haven't got any differences. We're going to deal with them. I mean, you know, we can deal with them in the right way, though. And dealing with the differences isn't, well, I'll tell you what, you're different than I am, and I'm right, and you're wrong, and you get on my road, or you get out of here. Now, you know, there are people like that. There are people that's either my way or the highway. That's not the way to deal with differences. Because you see, when we go to the scriptures, we find that there are many places in scripture that talk about differences. As a matter of fact, if you turn with me to the book of Romans, if we turn to Romans chapter 15, Romans 14, it's talked about some differences, those that are strong in the faith, those that are weak in the faith. And so we see these differences among the people of God. But as we turn to the 15th chapter of the book of Romans, he goes on and talks about the strong. Now, he says the strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please their own selves. You see, that's the instruction I have. And therefore, I ought to be looking for the good of my neighbor and to his edification, verse 2. Go up down with me to verse 5. He says, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded toward another according to Jesus Christ, that ye may be of one mind and one mouth. Glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. How am I going to receive another that differs from me? I'm going to receive him as Christ has received me to the glory of God. I'm going to bear with him. I'm going to be patient with him. There are going to be differences. But I'm not going to rail these differences out to the public. I'm not going to rail these differences out to the men, unbelievers. As Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, going to law one with another because we've got some differences. No, I'm going to deal with these things among ourselves through love and patience, forbearance, that we might bring glory and honor to God. Because you see, there are two kinds of differences. You've got it right here. You've had it the whole lesson. They're insignificant differences, and they're serious differences. Insignificant differences oftentimes are the ones that cause us the greatest problems. Things that really don't seem to matter, we just seem to get all tore up about. But you know, really what we need to understand about some of these differences that are insignificant, and that is that we may be different. We may have these insignificant differences in what I'm talking about, cultural, socioeconomic, whatever you want to call them. I call them insignificant differences. But they make us to be a variety of people. They make us all look at things from a different perspective. And you know what that really does for the body of Christ? It really makes us stronger. Because we don't all see things the same way that everybody else sees them. And we can learn to relate to more people. And so when you're out and you're trying to talk to people, you're trying to reach people, you know what? You know somebody who maybe is just like the person you're talking to. And you can say, well, you know what? Let me let you meet somebody else. They've been down the same road you have. Let me talk to them. Let me let you talk to them. You know, diversity will make us stronger and not weaker. But then there can be serious differences. Differences that involve a serious difference to the point that we are on different sides. We're on different lines. And you know what we do is we need to come to an understanding. But how do you do that? Well, do you do that through arrogance? And do you do that through bashing someone's head in and saying, you're going to believe it the way I believe it, or get out of the way? No, I think what you do is you deal with this in a proper way. You focus on growth and development. You focus on trying to remove the serious differences. And how do you do that? You do that by studying, working, and prayer. Here's what Paul was told by Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. When he's talking about some of the differences, he says, what you don't do is you don't spend your time on foolish and unlearned questions, with gender strife. Don't give yourself to the place of gendering strife. Don't ask things just to try to stir up some kind of strife or disagreement among people. But rather what you do as a servant of the Lord, you don't strive, but you're gentle to all men. You're apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those who oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to acknowledging of the truth. You see, that's what we're doing. We're working for the acknowledgement of the truth. And you know what? It may be that while I'm going through this and I'm studying with somebody and I'm trying to help them to grow and develop, all the while I'm doing that, you know, I'm growing too. And you know, maybe I've looked at some things and maybe I've looked at things and maybe I've looked at some things wrong and I can make some corrections for me. And what we do is we both wind up growing out of that in a way. But we set aside our differences because our goal is greater than our differences. And may God help us to that end, that we can be the kind of people God wants us to be, that we can truly shed the light of Jesus Christ in our life, and that we may truly, truly glorify God. And as we glorify God, then other people will be brought to glorify Him as well. Maybe that you're here tonight this evening, maybe you're not a member of the body of Christ. You glorify God by saying, I want to be a part of His number. I want to be numbered with Him. I want to be among His people. I want to sing praises to His name and lift my voice with saints. I want God to recognize that as I pour out my heart to Him in song, as I pour out my heart to Him in prayer, as I study and as I grow. And tonight, if you'll come in faith, you can begin that journey with Jesus. You can come in faith, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus Christ, Son of God. You can be buried with Him in baptism. You can rise up then a new creature, a child of God, giving glory in your life to God, and thereby people glorifying God because of your life. If we can assist you this night in making your life what it ought to be, let us know how we can help you while we stand and sing.